All right, I think we're ready to go here. Well, thank you for coming out this afternoon, and those songs were so good, weren't they? That last one, I just love that song, because no matter what, we've got so many blessings, even when it seems like everything's going the wrong way, and that's kind of what I want to talk about here. So let's ask the Lord to help us understand it, and then I'll share a few thoughts with you. It'll be brief. Father, thank you for these wonderful songs that we've just sung. Thank you for my wonderful wife who's led us to sing these songs of praise and thanksgiving. And Lord, we want to keep thankful hearts no matter what our circumstances are. We want to realize that you have poured many blessings out upon us, most of all our Lord Jesus. So help us as we think about these words from your scripture, and as we think about the life of George Mueller, help us to learn and to be more determined than ever to pray the way you want us to pray, and to always, always, always give thanks. So would you please teach us now in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to share, she mentioned a while ago, she mentioned our small group that we have on Thursday night in our home. We have a wonderful time of fellowship and Bible study in our home on Thursday nights. And what we talked about Thursday night is what I'm going to share with you now. These are the same verses we looked at Thursday night in our small group, but I just think it's so good and it's appropriate for this time of year, because next week is Thanksgiving week. Of course, every week ought to be Thanksgiving week, right? I mean, every week, every day ought to be Thanksgiving day, because we're giving thanks all the time. Yes. Well, I want to read two or three verses for you. The first one is 1 Thessalonians 5:18. And here God says, in everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And I know that there might be some people who would look at that and say, well, that's really hard. But he doesn't say give thanks for everything. He says give thanks in everything. But the truth is, there's another verse where he says, no, you need to be thankful for all things too. And that's in Ephesians chapter 5. Listen to these words. And do not get drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, that's what we were doing a while ago, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, that's what we were doing. Always, did you hear that word? Always, 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 giving thanks for all things, yes, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. Always. For all things. And it's because God has a plan and He's working it out. And some of that plan is painful for us. It is. And let's admit it. Some of it's difficult. Some of it is very much what we'd call a fiery trial. It's not fun. It's not easy. But we know that God is working something out during those times. He's producing something. He's accomplishing something in our lives. And He's getting us ready to be with Him in eternity. He's going to have jobs for every one of us in eternity. And it'll fit us just perfectly. You know, we don't even know ourselves real well, but when we get there, our brains will work like they're supposed to. Our bodies will work like they're supposed to. We'll have new bodies, and we'll be new creatures. And we are new creatures right now, but we'll have new bodies, new resurrected bodies then, and it's going to be glorious, and we're going to go to work for Jesus in a way that we've never worked before. It's going to be wonderful. We can't grasp it yet. And so why are we going through all these trials now? Because He's preparing us for that. It's part of the preparation. He's getting us ready. Let me read one more passage of Scripture here, and then I want to share an example with you. In Romans chapter 8, one of the greatest, most wonderful, most encouraging chapters in the whole Bible, God says this, in the same way, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, also helps our weakness. We got plenty of weakness, right? He says He helps our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should. We don't. We do the best we can. We make our request known. He told us to do that. And so we do that. We do what best we can. We make our request known to God. But He says, ultimately, we do not know how to pray as we should. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. The Holy Spirit who lives inside us is praying for us. And He knows how to intercede for us. It says, He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He intercedes for the saints. That's us. We're the saints. All of us are in Christ. He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. He knows what the will of God is. I don't. So many times when I'm praying, I say, Lord, I don't really know what's best. This is what I want. This is what I think is best, but you're God and I'm not. So I know you know what's best. And that's what he says. He says the Holy Spirit knows what the will of God is. And so he knows how to pray. And we know, this is what we do know, we know that God causes all things, not just some things, all things to work together for good. To those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son, so that He would be the firstborn among many brethren. That's us. We're His brethren and sisters. And these whom He predestined, see, this is before the foundation of the world. God planned all this. He also called. There was a time when you heard His call. You know, you may have been a little kid, you may have been an adult, but you knew that you had sinned, you knew that you needed forgiveness, you needed Jesus, and somehow, maybe a preacher shared it with you, maybe it was in an evangelism crusade, maybe it was another friend sharing with you about Jesus, and you said, I need Jesus. You heard that call, and you responded to it. And He had that plan from before the foundation of the world. He also called, and these He called, He also justified. In other words, He's forgiven us. He's cleansed us. He's made it as if we are righteous because we have Christ's righteousness instead of our own. And these whom He justified, He also glorified. When did He do that? Well, in eternity past, it's already settled, but it really hadn't. We hadn't experienced it yet, but it's as good as done. He writes it in past tense. He's already glorified us. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who could be against us? If we've got God on our side, if God is the one working in us, we don't have to fear anything else or worry about anything else. And so even though we don't know how to pray, He does. And He's interceding for us, and we can just trust Him to do the right thing. So whatever happens, we learn to give thanks. We say, I don't know what's best. He does, and I'll give thanks no matter what until He calls me home. That's where we have to be. Most of you probably have heard the story of George Mueller. I don't know, you might not have. He lived in the 1800s. He was a great man of God. And he asked God to show him a way to bring glory and honor to God. And what God put in his mind was to take care of orphans. Little kids that didn't have a mom or a dad. Take care of orphans. He didn't have any money at all. And he never did tell anybody that he needed money or needed stuff. But people kind of figured it out because God spoke to their hearts. And what he did, he just started praying. He said, Lord, if this is what you want me to do, then you know how to provide. And you just please send the money to provide for these little kids. So God began to send people. And God began to send money. And God began to send supplies just because he prayed. And he did that his whole life. That's what he devoted his life to. And at the end of his life, over $7 million worth of money, funds, and materials and food and things like that had been given to build these places for orphans. He built five large buildings on 13 acres of land. He didn't have anything at all when he started. God just sent him all of this. They could hold 2,000 orphans at one time in those places. It was a huge operation. And throughout his life, he took care of about 10,000 orphans altogether. Amazing, amazing. All he did was pray. And of course, he did the organization work, but the only way he raised money was to pray. And God just sent the food. So many times, they didn't know whether they were going to have a meal or not, and God would send the food just at the right time so the kids could eat. And there are many, many stories that, and there were so many of these things happening, he wrote them down in great detail. He logged it all. He wrote it down in a journal so we'd have all the documentation to show people, look what God did. And sometimes he received food from people just a few hours before the meal. And there was one time that he wrote in his journal that they didn't have food for breakfast. And they had all these kids. I don't know how many there were at the time. Hundreds and hundreds of kids. And they didn't have any food at the time. But he told them to sit down at the table and they prayed. And while they were praying, as they finished praying, there was a man knocked on the door. He was a baker, and he had enough food to feed everybody, enough fresh bread to feed everybody. because God had arranged that. And then while during that meal, there was a milkman that came to the door, and he had plenty of fresh milk for everybody because his milk truck had broken down right in front of the orphanage, and he said, it's going to ruin, so you guys might as well take it. So they took the milk, and they had the milk and the bread, and they fed the kids. So over and over and over again that happened. Now, the reason I'm sharing that with you is this, and we'll be done. We're just about finished here. The reason I'm sharing that with you is this. God answered his prayers in an awesome way, over and over and over. And people came to him and said, tell us how to pray. How do we pray like this? How do we pray the way you learned how to pray? And this is what he said. And I'm quoting George Mueller now. These are his words. I seek at the beginning to get my heart in such a state that it has no will of its own in regard to a given matter. 9/10 of the trouble with people generally is right here. 9/10 of the difficulties are overcome when our hearts are ready to do the Lord's will, whatever that may be. And that's the key. That's the key. You see, most of the time, there are things we want really badly. And we're praying, Lord, please, 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 I want this so badly. Lord, this is what I need, this is what I want. And we pray so strongly that it's hard for us to back off a little bit and say, now, wait a minute. Father, this is what I want. But you know better than I do what's best for me. And you know better than I do what's best for these people I'm praying for, these people I love. So, Lord, teach me to realize that whether I like it or not, your will is perfect. And I can trust you. You're my God. You're the one that created me. You saved me. You've redeemed me with the blood of Jesus. You've got an eternity prepared for me. How foolish it would be for me to say, no, I got to have it my way. No. Let's do it His way. Let's just ask for His will to be done. This is not easy. About a year ago now, Vicki went to the doctor and found out she had cancer. Well, you know what my prayer and her prayer were. I mean, we wanted God to heal this. Please, Lord, heal me. Heal my wife. Lord, please don't let this cancer go on. Heal her. And we are very thankful right now that He did. You know, she's cancer-free now. But it was hard to say, Lord, you know better than we do. And if you got some way you want to glorify yourself through this cancer, help us just to accept that. And one of these days, we know all of us are going to die, somehow, some way. That's the current statistic on death. One out of every one person dies. None of us get to escape it. One way or another, we're going to do that. And so, we just need to trust God with it. He says, when that happens, I'm going to be there. I'll take you through it, and I'll use your death to bless other people and to help other people and to get glory for my name. I'll get glory through your life. I'll get glory through your death if you'll just let me. And that's what we need to do. Just say, Lord, not my will, your will. And then whatever happens, I will say, thank you, Lord, for this. Even though it's painful, because you know what's best. And you love me more than anybody. And I'm just going to trust you, Jesus. I'm going to trust you until I'm in eternity with you. I know you got it all under control. And that's the attitude we need to have. So let's pray that God will help us do that. Father, thank you this afternoon. That you're in charge, not us. Thank you that we see very dimly through a mirror. We can't see very clearly, a dark glass kind of. And we don't see the future at all, Lord, except what you reveal to us in your word. Lord, we don't know what's best for us. We think we do, but often we don't. But we know you care for us with perfect love and with perfect power and with perfect wisdom. And so, Father, teach us just to rest at peace with great confidence that you're in charge and you're going to work all things together for good to those of us who love you, and that we don't have to worry and we don't have to be afraid. We can trust you from now on into eternity. You got it all planned. You got it all worked out. Thank you that we don't have to fear. Thank you that no matter what, we really can give thanks to you in everything, for all things, because you're such an awesome God and an awesome Father. So thank you for what you're doing in our lives and for these incredible blessings you bestow on us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.